Here's the kickoff to Boston Scott. He's coming out from 1 yard deep to the 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. He cuts to the outside, 35, 40, 45 midfield. He's running down the sideline and finally pushed out deep in Giants territory at the 34-yard line.
There we were. 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. Eagles already up 21-7. And yes, you heard it. Boston Scott, 66-yard kickoff return. By the way, Mike Sielski, great blocks on that play. I went back. I watched it like a dozen times. Great block from Zach Pascal, who opens it up, and Grant Calcaterra, the tight end. We'll get into why we played that in a moment, but I just want to say Pascal is a guy who came here as a free agent from Indy. He really hasn't the opportunity to get much playing time because the guys ahead of him are so good and so healthy. He's made a couple of important catches, but he has shown himself as a veteran player who can help you on special teams.
Yeah, he's been very good on special teams, and he's the kind of guy, Glenn, that I think a team that's going to make a Super Bowl run needs in this regard. As you said, he's playing behind A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, who are as good as any wide receiving duo in the league. But Pascal is a good player. He's a solid receiver, and he's the kind of guy who, in a big game, if you need somebody kind of, you know, on the side, so to speak, to make a big play, he is capable of that. He's a trustworthy guy. Jalen throws the ball to him quite a bit on third down, I've noticed. They go to him quite a bit. I'm not quite sure what it is about that. The Sirianni and Steichen seem to like to go to Zach Pascal and Kenny Gainwell on third downs, it seems
to
me.
Well, the Pascal one, I think it's like, okay, good hands.
Yeah,
right?
Gainwell,
I don't know, but he's contributed more the last couple games.
He's been better. He has. And that's a good thing. You know, they have depth at wide receiver and running back, and that certainly explains why they're as good as they are.
All right, but that was not why we played that. We played that because it was the longest kickoff return of the year by the Eagles. You don't get a lot of kickoff returns these days. Boston Scott did a terrific job, by the way. Boston Scott, of course, Giant Killer, had his touchdown against the Giants. Amazing how well he plays against that franchise. And for those who recall and have followed along at home, Mike and I have a stupid football bet this year, carrying on the tradition that I did with Ray Dinger for many, many years. Essentially, the bet is I get credit for good returns the Eagles have of punts or kickoffs. It's punt returns of 20 yards or more. Kickoff returns that go to the 40 or further. Mike has muffed punts and kickoff returns that don't get to the 20. Is that?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
All right. So there you go.
Yeah.
You were up 6-1 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's 6-5.
6-5.
This bet is getting stupider all the time.
This bet is getting better.
Condescend to you, Glenn, but I'm feeling a little bit like the 1992 Houston Oilers against the Buffalo Bills Rich Stadium, and you've got Frank Reich on your side.
I was at that game.
Yeah, you were covering it for the Inquirer, right?
I did cover that game for the Inquirer. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I feel like
the Inquirer covered national football. Yes.
Yes, and I feel like I'm squandering a 35-3 lead here on this stupid football bet. Yeah. I'm Jack Party on the sideline going, how is this happening?
That's right. I'm Frank Reich, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly gets hurt. Reich comes in. We're going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying it. So that aside, which is great, I mean, that was their biggest weakness. That was the thing that we said could kill the Eagles one of these games. They're going to screw up on some punt return or some coverage. Listen, they did have a punt block last week, and the punter got injured, so all is not completely well. But they fixed their problems, and they have, to a large degree, fixed the problem of special teams, at least last couple games.
Yeah, agreed. And you're right. It was the one thing that you looked at and said, boy, this could really lose them a game. Go back to that Packers game, for instance, on Sunday night, the 40-33 game, where time and time again you thought, oh, okay, here's where the Eagles pull away. And they would score a touchdown and then give up a long return on the ensuing kickoff, and the Packers would be back in business, and the momentum would have shifted, and it was a close game pretty much throughout. So the fact that they've been able to tighten this up, clean it up, and turn this into, if not necessarily a strength because their offense and defense have been so good, but certainly not an obvious weakness, speaks to the coaching staff. It really does. It speaks to their willingness to adjust. If we've learned anything about Nick Sirianni and his staff over the year and three quarters that they've been in charge of the Eagles, it's that they are willing and able to adjust. You saw it last year with the offense, you know, turning it into a run-first attack to take advantage of what Hurts did well and what the offense did well, and now you see it with special teams, and here they are at 12-1.
You know what? That's a great point. In a league and a sport where so many coaches are intransigent, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is my way. This is what we do. And Nick, he's young, and I think that adds to him being flexible.
Yeah, I think you're right. It shows a refreshing and relative lack of ego. I mean, look, all NFL head coaches are egomaniacs. They just are.
You're not going to get the job if you're not.
Right. But the fact that they are able to shift gears as quickly and as seamlessly as they do speaks to a humility on the coaching staff that I think is really refreshing and beneficial.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to Bob and Delran. What's on your mind, Bob?
Hey, I'm the guy that you put the Bigby rule on for weekends only. So I kind of laugh at that, where you say you can't golf twice on weekends. So I'm the Bigby guy. You know, Tom Bigby was great. God bless his soul, wherever he is. A great guy.
We'll talk to you today. What are you thinking?
Okay, a couple things. My main point is, and you know, I've never gotten Dak Prescott. I think he's a middle of the road quarterback. I kind of agree with Mr. Eskin that he's not. He's just average quarterback. He just gets a lot of publicity, et cetera, because of the Dallas propaganda machine. And I'm surprised that Rhea is always a good quarterback. I'm shocked that Rhea has that attitude.
Listen, do me a favor.
Okay.
You're gonna make me upset again. If you want to argue with Rhea, call Rhea. She's very easy to reach. She's there 5 days a week.
I get it.
We're here today. Your opinion
or
where
you
disagree with us.
Here's my question with both of you. It's an overall thing. The Cowboys has been one of the most, as far as in a marketing thing, probably the most popular franchise with a lot of fans around the country, probably the most fans of the country. I kind of understand it, but when do you think this is going to end? Because they haven't won in 30 years. There's been teams like Green Bay, New England, that's won 7, that don't have that type of get the publicity and the propaganda.
Bob, yeah. I can answer that for you, Bob.
When will it end?
It will end when the TV ratings and the Q ratings drop, because they don't. The Cowboys move the needle still to this day. Look at television ratings when the Cowboys are involved in a primetime game. Look at ratings of TV sports talk shows when they discuss the Cowboys. The Cowboys generate interest. It doesn't mean that they're a good football team. It doesn't mean that they're going to win the Super Bowl. It just means that they draw a lot of interest. It's the same reason that people talk about the Lakers or Tom Brady or any of those topics that come up over and over again.
So I think there's a couple. I think his overall question was why. Why is it that they still matter like that? And I think it boils down to one thing, the owner.
Yeah. Yeah, now it does, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
The legacy of those Super Bowls is so far in the past that, you know, the people walk around like, oh, we got 5 rings. Well, like, no, your grandfather might, but you don't.
Yeah.
It's like me talking about the Eagles 1960 championship. Things go back a certain distance. They don't matter. It's not the franchise of Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin, where they had all these, you know, big magnetic personalities, because they really don't now. They're not in any way a special team. They're a good team. I don't want to minimize it. They are a good team, but they're not a team with superstars. Zeke Elliott was a superstar. I don't think he is now. It's not like they have somebody who everybody's got to buy the jersey. And I agree with him. Prescott, I think he's a little better than average, but he's not top 10 to me.
Well, I think he's well above average. He's on the edge of the top 10 for me. I mean, you look at his numbers, Glenn. I mean, he's had some really good seasons. I'm more on with Reeves.
I can name 10 quarterbacks I'd like to have more than him.
Oh, okay.
And you and I will be doing that in our noon segment when we look at the young quarterbacks in the league. So
okay.
we can tee that up right now.
Sounds good.
You know, the star used to mean something. And maybe it does in terms of legacy. It's kind of like the Yankees logo maybe will always mean something like that. But I think it's the owner.
Yeah. I mean,
what else makes them compelling?
No, and I think it's the owner's style, so to speak, right? Like, all NFL owners want to build a new stadium. Only one of them builds one that looks like it belongs in a Steven Spielberg movie. Right. And
with stripper poles.
Exactly. All of that. Just
the players have to walk through the crowd to get there.
Jerry Jones excels at excess, and that draws attention. And you're right. And they're competitive enough, right? They're always in the mix. They've been the favorite a few times and have lost and fallen short, and that adds to the attention that they get. So, and there's still some of that residue of they were America's team in the 70s, and the dynasty of the early 90s is still a discussion topic, I think, because primarily Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin are still involved in discussions about the NFL. They're high-profile people, you know, still involved at ESPN and, you know, had been at Fox.
Oh, they dominate the broadcast booth, if not the field.
Right. Darryl Johnson, you know, is another one.
Who I like.
Yep, me too.
The thing is, a lot of their players, I don't like as players, but I end up liking him as broadcasters. I like Aikman.
Aikman is very, in the little bit I've interacted with him, had the opportunity to, he's very cordial, very...
I have as well, and
he's just a gentleman kind of guy, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Biggest hands in Western civilization. So you ever shake his hand?
I have, and I always...
It's like shaking a baseball.
It is, and if you go back and watch... video of him playing quarterback, you can see how big his hands are. Like, he would wrap his entire hand around the football, like palm flat on the ball.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Robin Overbrook, is this our old friend Rob, who I've not heard from in a long time?
Glenn, what's going on? How have you been, my friend?
There it is. Been way too long. I thought you left town or something.
Nah, I'm still around, man. How you doing?
Nice to hear from you.
How you doing, Mr. Mike? How are you?
I'm great, Rob. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I had to call once I heard the Chris Sims thing. You know, it's human nature. It's not so much, just like with Dallas Cowboys fans, it's human nature not to want to admit that you were wrong about something, because then you have to look at yourself, and maybe you might have to say that maybe I'm not as bright as I thought I was. It's the same thing with MAGA supporters with Trump. You can't.
Oh, don't go blowing on me, Rob. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We had somebody do it the other direction last week. I just don't want to do it.
But it's the truth. It's just human nature.
Stick with the quarterback. Listen, the human nature part we'll agree on, and we'll leave the politics out of it.
Yeah, okay. But that's just an extreme example. But, you know, history is full of extreme examples like that. So, you know, this guy Sims. You know, maybe because he wasn't good enough to be like, you know, and it might be a little bit of envy there. That's it, too. You know,
I don't think it's that either. Listen, I think your first point is a good point, because we all fall into that. And when you do the job that Mike and I do, you offer so many opinions that you are inevitably wrong sometimes.
Right.
I was wrong about saying I didn't think Hurts was going to be as good as Wentz. Well, he's better than Wentz. And I will admit it, but there is an inclination not to want to do it, and I think in Sims' case you might have it. You know, I don't think it has to do with how good a player he was, but I do think it has to do with just kind of admitting he's wrong.
Yeah, because when I called before, I've been a staunch supporter of Jalen. You know, and my thing was everybody, you know, especially people on your station, oh, we got to get Aaron Rodgers, or we can get
Russell Wilson.
No, not me.
You look at the look on his face. He looks like he'd rather be with his posse getting a hot cocoa or something as opposed to playing football anymore. You know, it's like he looks so disinterested. He's like, what is my wife doing? What are my friends doing?
Oh, you do love to read people. Love hearing from you. I got to hit a break. That call went in 18 different directions.
Russell Wilson, leader of the hot cocoa posse.
He's hurt. He's not playing this week.
Yeah. Hey, Glenn, just real quick. Imagine it, though. Rob does raise a good point in this regard. It wasn't outlandish to think that at this point in the season, if things had turned out differently, the Eagles head coach would be Josh McDaniels and their quarterback would be Russell Wilson.
And they'd be 4-8.
Yeah. And everyone would be miserable.
4-9. Yeah, we would be miserable. 215-592-9494. Along with Mike Sielski, I'm Glenn Mack. Now, we'll get your calls coming up. Work a little Sixers into the next conversation. They win last night, but there's a weird thing going on with that team. Mike and Glenn on 94 W.